Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of this parable and all that it teaches us. Help us to use our talents to see your kingdom come in our time. Amen.
Amen.
As I continue in establishing my ministry here, I think it's always important to complete my confessions with you. Here's another confession. I love info commercials. You know the ones? I love info commercials. When you look on, Channel 4, the film 4, before the films come on, I love JML. Am I the only one who loves JML? No, it's JML. Yes, Michael likes it. I want to have a mechanical back scrubber. Does anyone know this? They're just the JML mechanical back. The advert comes on and I think to myself, I could possibly want one of these. By the end, I've got my credit card out, my wife is intercepting me. The ones I really like are the mini gym, the twister farm. And they've all got, you know, incredibly white teeth. They've done it for 6 minutes a month, and they're absolutely ripped. And isn't it interesting? When was it the point that we had to worry about our core? I didn't know I had a core, but now I've got to worry about the important core. I love those things. I love them in particular because they promise to make me twice the man I am. All for $19.99 when you come around. I also like the one that says clean with steam. Has anyone got one of those? Speak to me afterwards. Does it really clean with steam? Right? Ah, there's a great one that talks about it. Imagine if you could be twice the person you are today. Imagine if you could be twice that person. Wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine if we could be twice the church we are today. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, as I put in my notes, stay tuned, because I believe that in this parable there is advice to see how we can individually and corporately be twice what we are today. When I say twice, I don't mean twice as tall or twice as wide, the big Christmas is coming. No, I mean being twice as capable, twice as applied, twice as talented. Wouldn't that be a remarkable growth in our lives? So let's stay true. But first, there's some preparatory things that I need to share with you. The parable of the talents, page 994 of your pew Bibles, if you want to keep a finger in there. Page 994 is Matthew's Gospel. Now, the important thing about this parable is that it's one of a series of parables about the kingdom of God. It's a part of a series of things where Jesus is saying to his followers, Matthew, he calls the kingdom of God, it's called the kingdom of heaven, because Matthew was written primarily for a Jewish audience, and they wouldn't say God, so they would say heaven. It's the same thing, but he's done this time and again, all the way through, as he approaches Jerusalem and the culmination of his ministry. And it says, verse 14, again, it will be like. Again, it is God's kingdom. This is a kingdom parable. Kingdom parable. Excuse me. Jesus' ministry was to establish God's kingdom. You take nothing else from today apart from the thought of me on the JML twister one. The kingdom of God is Jesus' ministry to inaugurate the kingdom, to bring it about. In a moment, in our prayers, we will pray, your kingdom come on earth. Jesus' ministry is not about getting into heaven, or getting, I put in my notes, or getting into heaven kit, or feeling better about ourselves. Rather, it is about starting God's kingdom. His life, death, resurrection, and ascension is all in order to bring God's kingdom on earth. And this is a kingdom parable. Are you still with me? Too many coughs. It is a kingdom parable. The second thing that I want say, if you're still with me, is that a talent was a lot of money. In our translation, we heard a bag of gold. A talent was a huge sum of money. It was the equivalent of 20 years' wages. That wouldn't be bad, would it? 20 years' wages. So even the guy who got one bag or one talent still got 20 years' worth of wages. That's not bad, is it? You can retire potentially on 20 years' wages, depending on what your wage is. I've worked out, obviously, someone earned £50,000 a year, that'd be £1 million that they were given. It's a huge sum of money, huge sum of money. Now, imagine that Jesus is primarily talking to the group of people around him just as individuals. I have listened to and preached many times on this parable, saying it's all about the individual and what we do with our lives. There's a strong element to that. But I think there's a deeper meaning to what Jesus is saying here. He is talking to his church. He's talking not just to individuals, but also to his church. Because his church is God's plan to bring the kingdom to the planet. It helps us understand what the kingdom is for. The church is not a group of people interested in a particular type of music, or a particular type of culture, or a particular form of worship. We do all of those things, but that is not the primary reason for the church. The church primarily is here as God's delivery system for his kingdom. The church is not necessarily a place just for the worried or the anxious or the confused. Now, we can welcome all people, especially those people in that category. But it is here as God's kingdom delivery system. The church is not just a place of moral certitude. The church should be teaching morals. Well, of course, we have a moral code given to us through the Bible and through Jesus, but it is primarily the church's primary call is to be a kingdom delivery organization. Put in my notes, we are the kingdom deliverers. That's our role. Kingdom deliverers. Jesus was talking to a group of people who were going to be formed into the church, who were called and commissioned to bring God's kingdom. That's what we do. That's what we're called to be. Still with me? Don't forget, I'm going to tell you how to be twice a person and twice a church, because it's all about parable. This is a kingdom parable. The talent is a fortune, and Jesus was talking to his church. God invests in his church. God invests in his church. If you look at verse 14, it says God entrusted his property to them in this parable. God builds his church. God builds his church. He gave his early church everything they required. He gives his church today everything it requires. He's given us direct access to God. Through Jesus, we can pray directly to God in any place, in any situation, at any time. The Jews of Jesus' day wouldn't have known this. They would have had to go to temple. They would have had to go through potentially different rituals and ceremonies in order to gain access to God. But we can pray directly to God because God has given the church everything it needs to grow. He has given us his Holy Spirit. No longer do we need to go to the Holy of Holies. The Spirit of God lives within us. He lives within us. He is a gift from God, that God himself is with us. And of course, he has given us Jesus in order to see his kingdom come. God builds his church to deliver his kingdom. God invests in his church. He invests in us as a church and as individuals. But here's the rub this morning. He expects a return. He expects a return. In Matthew's Gospel, there are loads of parables about the kingdom growing. we see the mustard seed. Do you remember the story of the mustard seed? I love the portion of the mustard. That's always my favourite. And you know, those mustard seeds are tiny, aren't they? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed, and it grows to be a giant tree. He says, it's like having a vat of dough and pouring in yeast. Now, I'm a baker only in name, so I never bake. But those of you who bake are telling me that if you pour yeast into the flour and water, it blows up, doesn't it? It's incredible. He says the kingdom of God is like a net that's thrown into the sea and pulls out a huge catch of fish. The kingdom is growing, and he expects a return for that which he has invested in us. The end of this parable is one of the most uncomfortable places in the New Testament for me. Did you hear it? When he said to the one who had buried his talent, he said this, the most severe dressing down I think I could hear, "You wicked, lazy servant." Isn't that harsh? Isn't that harsh? That doesn't sound like the nice, easygoing Jesus that I heard of in Sunday school. "You lazy, wicked servant." It's interesting how things like that stay with you, especially called lazy. When I was 8 years old, we had a swimming competition at school, and I was swimming up and down, we were going to swim a mile, I think, and we were going to go up on the left-hand side and back down on the right-hand side of the lane of the pool. And one of my friends accidentally sort of banged me on the head, and I took a big gulp of water and touched the side. One of the teachers who was standing there said, "You've got to come out, you touch the side, that's the end," and we've done about 3 laps. So I got out of the water and I sat on the side. And another games teacher was walking past, thought that I had jacked it in after 2.5 minutes or whatever it be. So she pushed me into the back into the pool. But this is what I remember. This is what I really remember. As she pushed me in, she said, "Lazy boy. Lazy boy." And I then took an even greater gulp of water and had to be fished out by the lifeguard. She got in so much trouble. What a thing it says. Lazy and wicked, that stayed with me. All those years later, I can still remember being called it. This is so uncomfortable for us to hear. It's a tough phrase, isn't it? Why? Why is it such a tough phrase? Why has God said that to us? Well, I think the message is within the parable. If we hide our talents, the kingdom does not come. If we hide our talents, if like that man, that servant, who had his talent, he goes and he buries it in the ground and hides it, and then just gives it back and says, "Well, here it is," then the kingdom doesn't grow. My last job, when I was working at Peterborough Diocese, I went to many churches that I would describe as hiding their talents. In many ways, they'd stop sharing the kingdom. I should say, when was the last time we invited someone to an event, to a Narnia night, or to a service, or to Christmas, or to Easter? Oh no, we don't like doing that. We don't want to push it down people's throats. It's only an invite. We're not forcing them in. No, we don't do that. Or they'd stop praying. I said, "When you come together as a church and pray, well, we pray on Sunday." And I said, "Yes, but apart from that, where are the places of prayer? We have unfettered access to God. Are we using that?" "Not so much," they would say. And then I'd say, "What about serving the community? Where are you being good news to the community? How are you blessing the community?" I said, "Well, we opened the doors." I said, "A lovely woman, I won't name her, where I was curate at the church that had struggled." And I remember her saying to me, "Miles, we open the doors, we turn on the lights, we start the organ, if they come, they come." I said, "Yeah, I'm not sure that's the way forward." It's a terrible reckoning in verse 28. Because God takes the talents that have been given from the one who's hidden it. He doesn't even leave it with that. He takes it and he gives it to the other one. That's a terrible reckoning. And then he casts him out, sends him out to the place where there's gnashing of teeth. I don't know why it's always gnashing of teeth in the Bible, but there we are. It is. He casts him out. It's a terrible reckoning. Now you may think that all sounds like terribly scary bad news, but here's the good news. Here's the huge good news. If, as an individual, as a church, we take the huge investment that God has made in us, we can see a huge growth as well, as individuals and as church. And we can see God's kingdom come. We can see tremendous personal growth and growth as a church. It's not inevitable that church's decline. To underline, it is not inevitable that churches decline. Not all churches are declining. It's just not true. If we want to be twice the person that we are today, if we want to be twice the church, then we need to use the investment that God has made in us. I was blessed to help start an intern scheme in Peterborough Diocese. This is a picture of some of the guys who are promoting their wares. It became the Church of England's Christian ministry experience. And we used to get these interns who would mostly be between 21 and 25 years old. And they used to come in May, June, and July for interview. And I used to help Pete White, who's the one closest to me with the stripe on top. I was going to say he's the one with the stripe on top, but that wouldn't help. This is my great friend Pete. Pete and I used to do the interviewing. And these young people used to come, and they would have timidity, and they'd be shaking. And you know, they'd say, well, I'd like to be an intern. And they wanted to explore if they could be a priest, if they'd become ordained. And they came to us. And at the start of the year, in September, they could hardly say their name. But they took their talents, their nervousness, and they stepped out in courage, and they went into their churches, and they learned to do new things. They brought the talent they had, and they suddenly found they had new talents. And by the end of the year, so many of them were going forward, either for another year of internship, or to go to another church to carry on this growing journey. We were delighted to see that around 50% of them went forward for ordination training. It was a remarkable thing to see these people flourish. It was something of the parable of the talents. They brought those talents they had. By the time they had come to bless God's church, the delivery system for his kingdom, they had grown. They had more than doubled. Sometimes they had tripled and quadrupled. They were remarkable people of faith, and they're going to grow into being incredible ministers for God's when we invest our talents. One final piece of good news. If you want to be twice the person that you are today, invest your talents in God's kingdom. If you want to be twice the church that we are today, let's invest our corporate talents in God's kingdom. But did you notice the other thing? Where God said to those who find two talents, enter into my house. Enter into my happiness. Do you know, the happiest people I meet in the world, the ones who are using their talents for God's kingdom. They can be using work, like Gavin spoke of this thing. They can be using it in their home, in their business. It could be in their church, it could be through a charity. It could be in a thousand, 100,000 different ways. But the people I meet with the greatest happiness are the ones who are connected to God's happiness and see kingdom. So I want to conclude this morning with a challenge to us. Did you hear those words at the end? God said, well done, good and faithful servant. But he also said, wicked and lazy servant. Which one do we want to hear across our lives from the life of this church? Do we want to be a church of five talents with another five talents and actually we'll have the other one talent too? We want to be hiding what we've got in the ground. It's our choice. It's a choice for each generation of church as to who they want to be. Is it going to be kingdom come or kingdom gone in our time? I believe God calls to us through this parable that we come together and we are such a talented church, such a talented place. Church after church I go to has so many talents. We are so rich here and we have worked so hard to bring those talents to God's kingdom in this place, and that is fantastic. Let's make sure we continue to do that. Let's look for new opportunities to bless our community. Let's make sure we continue praying. Let's see God's kingdom come in our time, in this place, because we work with God.